y'all. From the first song to the last, that's good stuff. Amen, amen. Listen, got a couple of quick announcements I want to make. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Pastor Naves, Steve Naves, and Mount Moriah will be here. If you haven't heard Mount Moriah sing, I'm telling you, you're in for a treat. If you hadn't heard Brother Naves preach the gospel, you're in for a treat. And so, listen, I want to encourage you. I want to ask you, in the name of Jesus, make time tonight to come back and to worship with us. You know, I don't ask you to do it for me. You ought not do it for me. But will you do it for Jesus? Amen. I mean, will you just give us about an hour and a half of your time this evening and come and worship with us and just be a blessing to our sisters, brothers and sisters in Christ from Mount Moriah. And so that'll be going on tonight. Also, the Gridiron Men's Conference is right around the corner. And we got about 11 or 12 men that have signed up to go. It's a weekend in Birmingham. You get to hear some good preaching, some great praise and worship music. Not as good as what we have here, but it is good. We'll be gone Friday, and we'll come back Saturday. It's just a great time of fellowship with the men. I need to know who's going by the first Sunday in March, okay? And if you decide you want to go, I need to know so that we can make reservations and that kind of thing. I'm going to tell you what, it's like a mini revival to me. It's just that good. And so, men, I want you to get aboard and go with us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Open with me into the book of Ephesians. Find Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk to us this morning on this little simple subject. Prepared for the battle. Prepared for the battle. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And for just a brief moment, Paul turns his attention away from the church and he focuses on the home. He talks to us about how the home needs to be brought under the government of God.
Amen.
How the home needs to be controlled by the word of God and by the spirit of God. Paul understood something I think most of us have forgotten, and that is, if you're going to have a strong church, you need strong families that make up that church.
Amen.
And so Paul spends the bulk of chapter 6 talking about the home, talking about family. I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 10, because the other thing that Paul understood that the moment you were saved for victory.
Amen.
But there can be no victory until there's first a fight. There's got to be a fight. There's got to be a battle in order for somebody to walk away victorious.
Amen.
I want to say to us this morning,
yes, sir,
as a church, and as families, there is a spiritual battle going on around us.
Yes,
in fact, sometimes it's going on around us, and then sometimes it's going on in us.
Come on. Amen.
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 And Paul wants to prepare us,
yes, sir,
for the battle. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to read this text. Because if I don't say nothing else, this would be worth coming to church for right here. You will not defeat the devil accidentally. He don't lose that way. If you're going to whip the devil, if you're going to defeat the devil, you got to apply the plan of God to the church and to the home. Amen? Now listen what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In verse 18, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, thank you for this great and wonderful crowd who have come to worship your son Jesus and to receive and to live out your word. I believe that's why we came this morning. Because we want you to speak to us. And once you've spoken and we've heard it, we want to be able to live it out in our daily lives. Now, Lord, if we got places in our lives that is below the standard that you have set for us, I pray that you would convict us and give us grace to correct it. Father, I pray for every home, for every family, for every marriage, for every husband, for every wife, for every child. I ask in Jesus' name this morning, Father, that you would speak to us in a way that all of us can understand it. Live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Short message this morning, not very long at all. I have already been informed that I think it's the Daytona 500. Amen. Folks, once again, this morning I want to remind us that there is a dark, dirty, dangerous, and diabolical demon who wants to destroy both the church and the family. The devil is real. He's not a figment of the imagination. He is real, and he is scheming, and he's plotting, and he's planning, and he is working diligently to wreck and to ruin both the church and the home. There is no level that he won't stoop to. There is no trick that he won't try. And there is no person that he will not use. The truth of the matter, but it's a shame, but it's true, that he is using many of us to ruin what God has given us. I want to say that again, because that means we got to self-check ourselves. But there are a lot of us who are reckoning and ruining, because we're being influenced by the devil, the very gift that God has given us. It's one thing for you to wreck my marriage, but it's plain stupid for me to wreck it. Come on. Amen. The devil is out to destroy the church, and he's out to destroy the home. And what the Apostle Paul here is doing, Paul is trying to prepare us. Paul is trying to equip us so that we can win the battle. Now listen to me. The war has already been won. The war was won at Calvary, but you and I still have some personal battles that we have to fight from here to glory. I want to say this again because I want it to be clear and understandable. No church and no home is immune to the tricks of the devil. You don't get to live and walk through this world without having some problems with the devil. Every church that's been planted by the hand of God will have some problems with the devil. And every home, every Christian home, every husband, every wife, every family who longs to see God glorified, you will have some problems from the devil. Now, Paul wanted to do two things here in Ephesians chapter 6. Number one, Paul wanted to inform us that there is a battle going on. That's the first thing. Listen, you say, well, why in the world is that important? Because you won't prepare for the battle if you don't know there's a battle going on. Amen. Paul wants us to be aware of the fact that the devil has declared war on the church. The devil has declared war on your family. Listen, believe it or not, your family, your children, your marriage is on his radar. You say, Pastor Anthony, we've been married 30 years. Matt and I celebrate 30 years in September. We've been married 60 years. Friend, I want to tell you this morning, it does not matter how long you've been married. In fact, it gives him great pleasure to rip the rug away from under people who think they can't be moved. So Paul wanted, first of all, to inform us that there's a war going on. There's a battle. Listen to me. There's a battle for your family. There's a battle for your children. There's a battle, grandparents, for your grandchildren. And there's a battle for your marriage. There's a battle going on. And you need to know it this morning. Listen, you need to know. You need to know that there is a real, dirty, dark, demonic spirit that wants to get his hands on your family. That's the first thing that you need to understand. The second thing that you need to understand is that there is a proper preparation that you need to make to be ready to deal with the devil when he shows up. I'm telling you, Solid Rock, now, it's not if he shows up, it's when he shows up. And if you are unprepared, if you are unready, if you're not prayed up, if you're not word up, if you're not walking with God the way that you need to be, he can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time. The reason why, listen to me, the reason why the devil gets the victory over some of us is because we don't pray until the bottom falls out. We don't seek God until life is falling apart. We don't get serious with God until the circumstances get serious with us. Amen. Listen, in fact, let me just be honest. There are some of us right there right now. If we will be honest and look at our prayer life and look at our walk with God and how much time we spend in the Word of God, we would have to admit that we are not ready right now for no attack from the devil. Listen, honey, the wrong time to build a storm shelter is when the tornado is in the backyard. The wrong time to prepare for the devil's attack is when he's already in the house. So Paul has two things in mind here. As he talks to the church and he helps us in the home, number one, you need to know there's a battle going on. Amen. Listen, you know what? And sometimes the devil can be creating a war in your house and you not even know it. He can be setting the stage for a future battle and you not even know it. Because sometimes we as husbands and wives don't tell each other all that we need to talk about.
Come on, help us.
And you get in a fight over here. Because the top wasn't put back on the toothpaste. You're getting a fight with that, Adam. But while you're fighting about the top being left off the toothpaste, it comes up that you last year you burnt the biscuits, and I ain't got over that yet. Look, I want to help us. Listen to me. I want to do two things this morning. I want to help us with our families, and I want to help us with our church.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
And one of the first things that we need to know, look, we need to know that the devil is trying to get in the front door of our homes.
Yes, sir.
And he's trying to get on the front pew in our churches.
Yes,
do you hear me?
Yes.
In fact, he want to get further than the pew. He want to get in the pulpit.
Come on. Yes, sir.
And if we don't, listen to me, if we don't know there's an enemy, we won't set up no protection against him. Let me tell you something else. Listen to me. If you listen, say amen.
Amen.
He'll use any husband.
Yes, he will.
Or he'll use any wife.
Yes, he will. Amen.
Listen, he'll use any member. Or he'll use any leader of the church to get in.
Yes,
and what I got to do as a husband and what we need to do as members of Solid Rock is to make sure that I'm not bringing the devil in with me. Y'all left me, didn't you? Y'all check that on me. So Paul, look, Paul here is trying to get us ready. He's trying to prepare us for the battle because he knows there's a battle coming. In fact, Paul later on talks about the evil day. Robert White talked about a little bit in Sunday school class this morning. Listen, if you think things are bad now, just grab hold to something and watch. Because this is just a cakewalk to what's coming in days to come. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. This world is not about to get any better. She's seen her best days. She's seen her best days. And there's no amount of education. There are no laws that you can pass to stop degenerating man from going lower. It's going to happen. Listen, and the only hope is Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. There's no other hope. That's why Paul said we preach Christ. We preach Christ. We don't preach clean up your act. We don't preach turn over a new leaf. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if we can get people under the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll see a change in the life. I want you to look with me at this text this morning. I want to drop four things in your spirit about being prepared for the battle. Now listen to me, Solid Rock. Listen to me. You may be in a time of peace right now. Listen, your home may be like the love boat. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But I can tell you that no home, no marriage, no church is immune, can be exempt from the problems that the devil brings. So Paul said, I want you to be prepared now. I'm not going to try to be cute with you this morning. I'm going to give it to you. You write it down and take it home and live it out. That's all I ask. Listen, if we're going to be prepared for the battle, here's the first thing, verse 10. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Underline, in the Lord. Paul said, if we're going to be prepared for the battle, we must be relying on the right person. You can't rely on the president. You can't rely on your preacher. Listen, you can't rely on yourself to keep your marriage together and to keep your church strong. Every one of us need to make an open confession this morning that we are relying on the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. We are depending on the Lord. I tell you, I've been pastor long enough and I've been married long enough to know that there are some problems that can introduce itself in your life that there's nothing you can do about. If God don't fix it, it don't get fixed. If God don't solve it, it don't get solved. And Paul said, listen, number one, he said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Listen, that means to find your strength in him. Listen, how do you keep going when quitting makes sense? How do you hold on when turning loose is easier? How do you stay with that person that's hard to get along with? Amen. Listen, how do you keep coming when it looks like the bottom is falling out?
Amen.
The only way you can do it and do it right is that you got to be walking with the Lord.
Amen.
He said, be strong in the Lord. Listen, be strong in the Lord. It's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we make it through.
Amen.
I can tell you this morning, in the 30 years that me and Miss Maddie have been married, in the 8 years that I've been at Solid Rock, I can tell you that had it not been for the power and the grace of God, we would not have made it. Amen. Miss Maddie been killed me by now. Amen. It's by the strength of God. And listen, here's all I'm asking you to do this morning. Listen, I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm not asking you to rely upon yourself. I'm not asking you to depend upon. I'm asking you to, listen, to rely upon the one who will never let you down. You got to rely upon the right person.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to rely upon the right person. Listen, it is the power of God. It is Jesus Christ who keeps me going in the right direction. I can't take any credit for it for myself.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to John chapter 15. Look at John chapter 15 with me. John chapter 15, find verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he wanted them to understand that we as believers are just as dependent upon him as our Savior as the branches are dependent on the vine for life. So listen to what he says in verse 5. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You need to underline that. Because let me ask you a question. Are you abiding in the Lord? Are you staying connected to the Lord? Listen, are you a person who daily walks with the Lord, daily call on the Lord, daily instructed by the Lord? The only way we can be fruitful is to stay connected to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. I tell any person, any individual who's thinking about marriage, who's wanting to get married, you can learn a lot about what kind of mate they're going to be to you by looking at their relationship with God right now.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, listen to me, we will not be fruitful. We cannot be productive apart from Jesus Christ. So listen to what he says in verse 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. Then watch the last part of this verse. For without me, you can do nothing. I can't be a good husband without Jesus Christ. You won't be a good wife without Jesus Christ. I can't be a good pastor without Jesus Christ. You won't be a good member unless you stay connected to Jesus Christ. Number one, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we need to rely upon the right person. We need to rely upon the right person. Are you trusting in Jesus this morning? Are you relying upon the Lord this morning? When you look at your life and when you look at your marriage and when you look at your church and when you look at your ministry, can you walk away saying, Lord, I'm totally dependent on you? Go back to Ephesians. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. David says in Psalm, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. They shall never be moved. Listen to me, my friend. Listen, you need to rely upon the right person for your family and for your church. Amen. That's the first thing I want you to see. But now, here's the second thing. Look again with me at verse number 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And then watch what he says, in the power of his might. So number one, you need to be relying upon the right person. And number two, you need to be filled with the proper power. You need to be filled with the proper power. You need to be relying. You need to be filled, full, overflowing with the power that comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Power that's unlimited. Power that never runs out. Power that will help you in your weakest moment. Paul said, listen, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You need to be relying upon the right person, and you must be filled with the proper power. How many of y'all would agree that sometime church life and home life will wear you down? Amen. 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 Sometime church life and home life will wear you down. There are some days, there have been some days, in the past 30 years that I've been married to the most beautiful woman in the world. But there have been some days when I got tired. Now, I know y'all can't say nothing. But there have been some days, listen to me, there have been some days out of 8 years of coming here to Solid Rock when staying at home on Sunday morning would have been easy. Amen. Amen. Had it not been for the power of God, had it not been for the enabling help of the Holy Ghost, I would have thrown in the towel. Amen. Had it not been for the fact that the Holy Ghost reminded me that you're not staying in this marriage for Maddie and you're not staying at that church for the church, but for me, for the glory of Jesus Christ. You're going to need a power that's bigger than yours. Amen. Listen, when the honeymoon wear off and you wake up and see her for the first time without makeup, or she roll over and smell your morning breath, you're going to need a power that's bigger than yours. What do you do as a pastor when it don't look like the church appreciates you no more? What do you do as a pastor when the church just want a preacher but they don't want a pastor?
Come on, preach some. Say it.
I want you to preach good to me, make me feel good, and then let me go and get out of my business. What do you do as a wife when he no longer treats you the way he used to? And if you're just depending on what you got, it won't take you long. We need a power. Listen to me. We need the proper power. And Paul tells us in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Is this making sense this morning?
Yes,
sir. Amen. Look, I want to show you one verse. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Turn there with me. Jeremiah 32 and 17. I don't know what time the race started. We're trying to get finished, so.
It don't make no difference.
Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Everybody's got a Bible. Turn there. I want you to listen to what the writer here says, what Jeremiah says. This is a life verse right here. This is a verse that you need to build your life on. Listen to what he said. He said, "O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm." Now here it is. "And there is nothing too hard for you."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. "There is nothing too hard for you." There is no sinner that God can't save. There is no life that God can't change. There is no marriage that God can't heal. There is no church that God can't equip. There is nothing. In fact, woo, let me tell you, when it get too hard for you, then it's just right for God. Nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Nothing beyond his power. I like to watch God work sometime, Miss May. I like to just sit back and just watch him. Because just what you said couldn't be done, just when you think it won't work out, when you throw it away and call it trash, God walks up and picks it up. Because there's nothing too hard for our God. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's nothing too hard for our God. Listen to what else Jeremiah said. If you're there, still there, stay here. Listen. Look at verse 18. "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For your eyes are open unto all the ways of the Son of Man, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing." Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for God. He's great and he's a mighty God. And I say that this morning, because listen to me. Maybe perhaps you're here this morning and your life is in a bad place. Maybe your marriage is in a bad place. I want to tell you this morning, listen, you can give up on me. You can give up on the government. You can give up on the Pope and the President. But don't you give up on God. Because there's nothing too hard for God. Now go back to Ephesians with me. We'll close. Paul is trying to prepare us for the battle because he wants us to win it. God wants us to win the battles at home this morning. God wants us to win the battle in the church this morning. I'm telling you, God has given us everything that we need to win.
Amen.
And there is no excuse if we don't win. Paul said, number one, you got to be relying on the right person. Number two, you must be filled with the proper power. But look at verse 11. Because Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Now underline the word whole. He said, put on the whole armor of God. This is not the only time that Paul makes this statement. He says it again in verse 13. He uses the same word and he said, put on the whole armor of God. Listen, if you're going to win the battle this morning for the home and for the family and win the battle at the church, listen, you must be properly clothed.
Amen.
You got to have on a proper gear. Listen what Paul said. He said, "For put on the whole armor of God." The whole armor. You got to be dressed right. Listen, a Roman soldier, some believe that when Paul wrote this, we know he was in a prison. And some believe that he was sitting and he was just looking at a Roman soldier and Paul was studying him up and down. And Paul said, that every piece of equipment that soldier had on as he studied him was a necessary part for battle on the battlefield. God says to us this morning that I have given you some gear. I've given you some equipment to use in this spiritual battle that you're engaged in, and you need all of it. There's not a piece of it that you don't need. There's not one part of it that you don't need. Listen, Paul said, he says in verse 11, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now watch this. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means schemes. The devil is scheming against you. Listen, he is scheming against you. He is plotting against you. He's plotting against your family. He's plotting against your children. He's plotting against your church. He's plotting against your life. He is scheming. And we need to be clothed, prepared, dressed for the battle. He's getting the upper hand on some of us. It don't look like it. Right now, it don't even feel like it. Because we got money in the bank.
Come on.
We're being promoted on the job. We're financially secure and we think everything is fine. But I'm telling you, listen to me, he's plotting against you.
Yeah.
He's scheming against you. He wants to wreck and ruin your marriage, your family, and the church. And Paul said the only way that you can be prepared for it is you got to be properly clothed. Now, he tells us what those things are. In fact, look up with me real quick as we run to a close. Look up with me at verse 14. From verse 14 all the way to verse 18, Paul tells us what those things are. He says, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth. Underline truth. You know what truth is? Truth is integrity. Truth is what holds everything together. In those days, listen, a Roman soldier would wear what almost looked like a dress, and it would drag the ground. But when it was time to run or when it was time to go to battle, what he would do, he would pull that thing up, and he would tuck it under a belt that he wore around his waist. And that belt, listen, that belt would hold his long flowing robe as well as it would have places in notched in it so that he could put his sword and whatever else he needed in order to rightly defend the Roman government. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you listen, say amen.
Amen.
Because this is important. If your life ain't built on truth, it's built on a lie that's soon going to fall apart.
Amen.
We've lost our integrity in the church. We call wrong right and right wrong. Listen, we as believers live any kind of way and throw it up to God and think he ought to be happy with it. In our mind, there is no absolute truth anymore. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen to me. This book is absolutely true. And if you build your life on this book, you will never go wrong. And if you build your life on anything other than the word of God, it is built on shifting sand. And when the wind blows in the right direction, your whole life is going to come tumbling down. Are you building your family on truth? Are you building your family on integrity? What kind of character have you got? What are you when ain't nobody looking?
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, bro. I know that you're sitting there with your arm around her now. But how do you treat her when you're away from the public eye?
Amen.
Paul said, listen, he says, he says, stand up for having your loins girded about with truth, verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what righteousness had to do with? Purity. Purity.
Amen.
And even in the church, we lost our desire to be pure. Ooh, y'all just shot me down this morning. We've lost our desire to be pure anymore. Listen, when you look at us, we don't live very much different from the world.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You look at our home and look at their home, and it's hard to tell the difference. Because there's no purity in the home anymore. He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. But then listen, he said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Has to do with a firm footing. The Roman soldier, Brother Charlie, the Roman soldier, before he would go to the battlefield, he would take his shoes and he would drive spikes in the bottom of those shoes, much like football cleats. So that when the battle broke out, he could dry those spikes in the ground and he could stand his ground. And Paul said, you ought to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What are you standing on this morning?
Amen. Amen.
What are you standing on? But then Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith, for which you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so Paul goes on to name all of the equipment that God has blessed us with. The shield of faith, whereby you should be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. How's your faith this morning? How's your shield?
Come on, come on.
How's your shield? A Roman soldier would have a shield that was about 2 by 4, 2 feet by four. It would be wood nailed together, and on the outside of that thing, it would be covered with a leather covering. And when the enemy shot those fiery darts, those fiery arrows at him, he would be able to block that thing with his shield. And Paul says that you and I need the shield of faith this morning. Because the devil is shooting at you. He's shooting his lies. He's shooting his deception. He's shooting his discouragement. I have to deal with that every day. Every day he shoots an arrow of discouragement at me. And the only way you can stand up against those arrows of discouragement is that you got to hide behind the shield of faith. Somebody asked me this morning, said, are you okay? You're not getting down, are you? I'm going to tell you, friend, if it was not for the shield of faith, I would get down. if it were not for the fact that I know what the word of God promises to his children, I would get down. Because the devil shoots, the devil lies. The devil comes against your mind. Well, let me just give you the last two, and we can go home. Listen. Number one, you need to rely upon the right person. Number two, you must be filled with the proper power. But here's number three, you must be dressed in the proper gear. How are you dressed this morning? How is your soul dressed? Here's the fourth thing. It's really important. You need to identify the true enemy. You need to identify the true enemy. See, listen to me. The reason why the devil wins against us at home is because he makes us think that the husband is the enemy. He makes us think the wife is the enemy. But listen, Matt is not my enemy. And I'm not her enemy. She's not my enemy. The real enemy is the devil. It's the devil. I want you to go back with me. And look with me in verse 11 one more time. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. And then he calls him by name of the devil. Of the devil. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I tell you something this morning, Solid Rock? Listen, the person that's sitting in front of you, the person that's sitting behind you, the person that's sitting next to you is not the enemy. He's not the enemy. Oh, devil, throw rocks in the home and in the church, hide his hands and run away, and we start blaming one another. If you're fighting your wife this morning, you're fighting the wrong person. If you're fighting your husband this morning, you're fighting, they're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. The folks that come in and out of solid rock doors is not your enemy. But let me tell you something, he's smart. I'm telling you, he's clever. Listen, he wants to save all the bullets that he can. So if he can get us to fight one another and waste our bullets by killing one another, that means he got more bullets to kill somebody else with. Are you with me this morning? Listen. You need to identify the real enemy. You need to identify the real enemy. For 400 years, he's had the white folks mad with the black folks. And he's had the black folks mad with the white folks. And now he got the black and white mad with the Mexicans. Are you with me this morning? But our Latino brothers are not our enemies. Amen. Amen. And if you're not careful this morning, he will have you absolutely fighting mad with somebody you live with or somebody you worship with, and they're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. Here's the final thing this morning. Just as important. Go with me to verse 14. In fact, look at verse 13 and 14. I just want to make this point. We'll go home. Paul said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Underline evil day. Because I'm telling you something. Listen to me, church. The evil day is coming. It's coming now. It's coming. And if you wait until it gets here before you start getting ready, you waited too late. You need to be prepared for it right now. Every husband and wife ought to be prayed up. Do you hear me? Amen. Listen, every family ought to be word up. You ought to be filled with the word. So listen to me. When the evil day comes, you ain't got to look for your word. You know where it's at. You already hid it in your heart. Paul said, listen, he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want you to go back to verse 14, because listen to what Paul said. In the last part of verse 13, he said, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And here's the final thing. sooner or later, you got to make a decision that you're going to hold the ground that God has given you. Sooner, listen to me, I'm through. But sooner or later, you got to make a decision that you're just going to hold the ground that God has given you. Come here, Matt. Marquita and Chris is not here, but I want to show you something. This is God's gift to me. It's ground that God expects me, if I don't do nothing else, I am to dig in, and I am to fight like a wild tiger to hold the ground that he's given me. Solid rock is ground that God has given me for a season. Like her, I don't know when God's going to call it back to himself. One day he will. Yeah. One day the rightful owner will come and get what rightfully belongs to him. Mm-hmm. I'm just a guard over it right now. Amen. Solid rock is ground. It's territory that God has given me. God said, I'm not asking you to take any more territory. I'm just asking you to protect the territory that I've given you. And I want the devil to know that come hell or high water, night or day, good or bad, sunshine or rain, I am prepared to defend what God has given me. Listen to me. Excuse the expression, but I fight the hell out of the devil for this right here. I'm telling you, I will fight him tooth and nail. If he think I'm going to break and run, he got another thought coming. If he think I'm a coward and going to give up what God has given me, he got another thought coming. I will fight every demon in hell to protect what God has given me. Listen to me. You run if you want to. You quit if you want to. But what God has given me, here's what I know. I know God don't give no unvaluable gifts. So whatever God has given, I fight the devil all the way to hell and back. If you run into him, tell him that Anthony Blessall said that. Sooner or later, you got to make a stand. You got to make a stand. You got to stop being weak back and little liver and make a stand. You can get no more of my stuff, devil.
Amen.
Nope.
Amen.
When Paul said, stand therefore, here's what it literally means. Yes, sir. To hold the ground that God has given you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ooh.